The Lifestyle Show, presented by Selena McKenzie.
Now, from celebrated author Jay Griffiths comes a unique and heartfelt insight into the healing nature of our relationship with animals. To tell us about her latest book, How Animals Heal Us, welcome to the show, Jay Griffiths.
Thank you so much. It's delightful to be here.
It's delightful to have you on the show. My favourite subject, animals. And as pet owners and animal lovers, we generally instinctively know that animals can and do heal. But apparently in this book, you give evidence.
That's it. This is it. It's kind of one of those things where part of me thinks, who needs studies to know that your dog makes you feel better? That kind of, you know... That listening to birdsong is good for you. But I think we do need to know that the studies are there. So what I've done in this book is it's not in any way an academic book, but if there's any little bit of it, like if you really want to know that baby jumping spiders dream, and they do, in the notes at the back, it'll tell you where that study is. Do you see what I mean?
So it's kind of...
All the notes have it all. So if there's any little bit you want the proof of, it's in the back.
Wow, that's interesting. And baby jumping spiders do dream, do they?
It's such a... They dream. And how it's known, because in the first 10 days of their lives, their pigmentation hasn't come in. So you can look, when their eyes are shut, you can look right through into their eyes. They go into rapid eye movement and their little legs start twitching in and out and they start spinning. This is dreaming. And so spider experts have looked at that and said, absolutely, this is dreaming. So many animals dream. And, you know, when I was writing this book, I was thinking about how the importance of animals at the heart of our sort of cultural dreaming, as it were, that that our cultural dreaming is profoundly the myths, the medicine stories, the folk tales, what's called fairy tales, which is a bit belittling. Animals are at their heart. Animals are the medicine. So this is a book that does look at kind of how our own pets make us feel better. That kind of, you know, the sound of a cat purring is demonstrably scientifically good for us in terms of bone strength and pain management. But it's also looking at kind of how, you know, when animals greet us, our pets greet us when we go home, the delight in them delights us, that kind of welcome, and then oxytocin rises in you and in your dog. But then, so it is a book that in a way starts where you are. It starts with me and my cat. It starts with whoever has a dog and the relationship that people have always remembered with their childhood pets, of course. But then it goes bigger and bigger and bigger out into saying, look, we need to be healthy as individuals. We also need to live in healthy societies, societies that are ethical, that are political, that have a sense of justice. So in all of these things, sorry, this is a very long answer to
it's interesting. It really is interesting and fascinating. I used to keep my horse years and years ago. We used to have children who were on the spectrum that came and spent time with the horses and the ponies, and they actually calmed them down. It was incredible.
Absolutely. This is so many people's experience that I was talking to an equine therapist who said, it was a beautiful phrase. She said, simply being by a horse, healing happens. So this is lovely. And it's again, scientifically demonstrable. But I think it's that thing where all of us can think of somebody, ourselves or somebody else, who has been, you know, psychologically rescued, physically rescued by, you know, by animals, which they have done. Wonderful story of a parrot who saved the life of a toddler because the toddler was choking and all the kind of responsible adults were just momentarily out of earshot, but this toddler was choking. The parrot started flapping its feathers frantically and squawking, "Mama, baby, baby," until somebody heard and came and saw what was happening and saved the toddler's life. But the parrot
Incredible, incredible. And I know some people are a little bit sceptical when you say, you know, I mean, I know when if I'm upset, my dog knows that I'm upset and comes and sits with me and makes me feel better. And people are sceptical and say, well, you know, maybe just they feel something, but it's probably not sympathy. Have the facts and your science worked out that it actually is?
That's the thing, is that there's so much to show that kind of, you know, that animals have empathy. Dogs, for example, have what's called a left gaze bias, so that they can process our emotions in the right hand side of their brain, which is kind of better for them to get a good sense of our emotions. You know, most creatures don't do that. Dogs do. There's also, you know, an amazing sense of how dogs, you know, dogs and horses can coordinate, they can regulate heartbeat in sync with a rider. That's sort of, you know, that and you know, the number of times where there's a demonstrable sense of empathy from a dog that has realized that its owner is about to self-harm, and the owner has said, you know, the dog took away the kind of, you know, like somebody, it's really, really a difficult, horrific situation. Somebody was thinking about committing suicide and they had a noose ready and the dog took it away, ripped it to shreds and it went snarling at its owner. It's absolutely demonstrable, you know, and it is, you know, of course we feel it, but it's like, this is how we know it. We know that birdsong feels lovely. Mm. There are studies that, you know, that listening to birdsong is psychologically healing for us in terms of anxiety and depression. And the effects last for up to 8 hours.
Blimey.
You know, it's beautiful, isn't it? Isn't it beautiful? And this kind of, you know, this world that we live in, that, you know, that we know that animals are good for us, but quite in what range they're good for us. So, you know, when I was talking before about healthy societies being ethical, is that what anthropologists have started to look at is how we humans learned ethics from wolves. That when we were just kind of scruffy little hominids, right, we didn't have an ethical society. The wolves have been there for millions of years before us. They had ethics. And what people are saying now is that we looked at wolf society, where they look after the young, they have friends who they cooperate with, they are good pack members and also good individuals. They look after the old. They look after the sick and injured, bring food for those two, you know, who are unable to hunt. This is a welfare state. This is a deeply ethical way to live. And what anthropologists are saying is we learn from that. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it is fantastic. I think there's still a lot we've got to learn. And I know you mentioned the parrot that saved the toddler's life, but I was reading there's also dolphins and whales that have rescued people, and even a pot-bellied pig who saved her owner's life.
Oh, this was wonderful. And all of these stories, by the way, they're really well attested. It was not one of those things where I went trawling around Facebook and found these are things where either a researcher attested it, or a really, you know, a really solid kind of police report or journalism that was really solid. So whatever. But yeah, the pot-bellied pig, what happened? A woman was in America and in a vacation trailer. Her husband had gone out for the day. She started having a heart attack. Oh. She had a pet pig, this pot-bellied pig called Lulu. Lulu realized that the woman was in trouble. Lulu, the pig, forced her way out through a dog flap, really scraped her sides because it was a dog flap for smaller creatures than a pig. And then Lulu basically crashed through a gate trying to get out to get help, went to a crossroads, which was a really intelligent thing to do because that would be where there was the most likelihood of cars passing. She went and lay down at the crossroads until she managed to stop a car, brought the driver back to her owner, and then that man was able to call 911 and get her medical attention. And they said, had the pig not done it, she would have died. And it was a very deliberate, that's the thing, it was deliberate. This was not an accident. It was quite deliberate. And she went back 3 times to try and get help.
Oh, wow, I've gone all cold.
Yeah. Yes.
I have my own small story that I have said on this show before, so apologies if some people think I'm just repeating myself. But my husband, about 15 years ago, our little dog, who's since passed, she kept going up his jumper and lying on the left side of him. And she did it even during the summer. And we were saying, well, she can't be cold. You know, she just kept burying into his jumper. Anyway, it turned out that he had breast cancer, which is very unusual for men. And I'm guessing it was from the smell.
Oh my goodness. That's so interesting. One of the things that I was looking at in this book is the dogs that can smell for cancer. Some, as yours did, can smell it, can, you know, untrained. They alert their owners. The most important thing is that dogs can do it and give an alert. But the second most important thing, and this is all credit to you and your husband, is that you listened.
Yes, we did.
You listened.
Yes, yeah.
And that's something where it's you know, there are so many instances. There's a whole kind of charity called Medical Detection Dogs, which is based on really a kosher science about how animals can also be trained to smell for cancers. And so there was this one dog called Tangle who was being trained to smell for bladder cancer and was given samples and was, I think, 6 or 7 samples, and was stopping at the one that in the training the researchers knew had the cancer. So it was kind of good dog Tangle. It's like getting it right. But Tangle also kept stopping at another sample. It's a sample of urine. And the people running the experiment were going, but everybody else has been cleared of having bladder cancer. Why is the dog stopping at a second sample as well? So what the consultant did was call the patient back in, whose sample that was, for further checks. And it turned out he did have cancer. It was kidney cancer, not kidney cancer. Caught it early. And then a few weeks later, a letter came for the dog and it said, "Dear Tangle, thank you for saving my life."
Oh, wow. Are all these stories in the book?
Yes.
Oh, it sounds great. It really does. And I often think about like monkeys and apes, because they're really the closest things to humans, aren't they? They must have a lot of similarities to us.
One of the things that I was looking at in with monkeys and apes is things like, you know, there was a gorilla called Coco, and in the 1970s, she was taught American Sign Language signs. She was really funny, by the way, is that there was one time when she wrenched a steel sink off a wall in frustration, and the people around her looked cross. So she signed with her hands. She had a pet kitten, and she signed, "Cat did it." Like a kitten can wrench a steel. But he also made art. You know, this is one of the things that, you know, that we humans like to say over the, you know, over the centuries, we've said, we're the only ones who have language. It's not true. Mm. We're the only ones who use tools. It's not true. We're the only ones who have a sense of humor. It's not true. Cat did it. or we're the only ones who make art. Coco made the most, she wasn't the only animal to have made art, but the most incredible paintings, that because she could use sign language, she could sign their titles. So one painting of hers was a stream with pink flowers, and she signed it, "Pink, pink, stink, nice, drink." Because pink was her sign for pink, stink was her sign for flower, and nice drink was her sign for good fresh water. So there's this sense that, you know, that, and also, you know, primates, you know, can have an astonishing sense of fairness. There was a bonobo who was being given food rewards by a human when her friends and family could see that she was getting these food rewards, but they weren't. And she got really upset with the human and basically gestured to them and said, you know, and said, "I'm not eating anymore until you feed them as well." It's so interesting.
Isn't it just?
It's so interesting. that sense of kind of fairness and ethics that, you know, that just some humans could really take a lesson in that.
Yeah, yes, indeed, indeed. It's fascinating stuff. And there's obviously so much more in the book, which our listeners will have to go out and buy. It's called How Animals Heal Us, the perfect book for the animal lover in your life, or of course yourself, if you're me. And it's by Jay Griffiths, who we're chatting to now. Jay, I know you've written lots of other books. Do you have a website so people can find out more?
I do. It's www.jgriffiths.com.
Wonderful. Well, it's been one of my favourite interviews with one of my favourite subjects. So thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Jay. Bye-bye.